Luke chapter number 15. I think God is gracing us out of Luke 15. I think that by God opening it up in ways that I've never seen it before. I know that sometimes if you've been in church for a while, you're familiar with the scripture. And if someone says open to Luke 15, automatically you quickly summarize, okay, that's about the prodigal or the elder or the far country or whatever. And we're quick to say, well, I've done heard that. And it is sad that really there's just a great deal of repetition. And I believe some of that is because there's a lack of study and a lack of meditation on the preacher's part. Just to give out the same thing about a text that you gave out last time about a text. I want to see growth in me. You know, I want to see growth in you, but I want to see growth in me. And I've been preaching this coming February, it'll be 37 years. And when I deal with a passage of scripture or whatever that I know that I've dealt with before, I want to be able to see in that and get things from that now that I never got before. I want to see growth in me, and you should want to see that in you as well. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 15, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture. Let's just read. It won't take just a few minutes here. Read it. Verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth. Now look at that. I just saw that. He's talking to the son, communicating back and forth to the son. And the son just spoke in verse 21, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. And then the father did not respond to the son far as directly. But he turned, those servants evidently was standing close by. But the father said to his servants, not speaking to the son, but the father speaking said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Isn't that good? The son was talking to the father, but the way the father dealt with it was, instead of talking to the son, he talked about the son. Go get the best robe and put it on him. Go get the, amen, and shoes and ring and put it on him. Amen, talking about him. Well, then look at verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and put it on him, and bring and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, drew nigh to the house, He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, not my brother, but thy son, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. And we'll be looking at that verse in another message when we're done with the calf. Amen. We're going to look at that verse. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we can feed on, and that, Lord, not only we can read it, but it reads us. And Lord, I know that all of us in here, including myself, would be a lot closer to you, Lord, if we was a lot closer to the word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd deal with us all about that. I pray you'd speak to us, dear Lord, and challenge us in these moments together as we look into the holy word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us have clarity of understanding and application. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will speak to us, Lord, from this passage and from this scripture and from this example that we can find in this story that oftentimes is overlooked. But I pray you will help us with it, and we'll thank you and give you praise. Save sinners in the house of God. Stir the saints of God. Deal with all of us. May none of us get in our vehicle to leave in a little bit, having not been spoken to of the Lord. And what you do, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I trust that you will keep your Bibles open as we look together. Look, if you will, in verse, I'll just mention it. I don't have to reread the verses. Verse 23, verse 27, and verse number 30. All three of these verses talks about the fatted calf. And so I want us to look at that. Now, we've dealt with the prodigal before. We dealt a whole series on him. We've dealt with the far country. We've brought out things about that. We've preached about the elder brother, which really in context is the main focus of the whole parable here. But I want us to look at the fatted calf. I've never heard anybody deal with the fatted calf, and that don't make me anything special. It's just that while I was preaching a couple of weeks ago on the servants of this text, four times it talks about the servants, that I made a statement. The Lord put it in my heart to make a statement about the fatted calf, and it got a hold of me when I said it, and I knew when I said it, it was going to grow, it was going to develop, it was going to get big, because it got big that night real quick, and it was going to get bigger, and it has. And I trust it not only get big to me, but it'll get big in you and challenge you. And we can look at this fatted calf this morning, and we can be challenged about what God wants us to be. You say, preacher, surely there's no challenge there. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot to be challenged in our heart and life as a Christian that can come from the calf, the fatted calf that is mentioned three times in this passage. And so, without going back and dealing with a lot, I just want to mention what we dealt with, I believe, last Sunday night. We talked about here's what I'm preaching on. I guess I might already mention that. I'm preaching on the Father needs more than skin and bones. The Father needs more than skin and bones. I know last Sunday night I mentioned that
the title was That Skin and Bones Won't Do. But I thought, man, I need to put the Father in there. You know, somebody see that and they won't have a clue what that is. But really the truth is the Father is the one that needs more than skin and bones. His plan, his program, his purpose, all of that he needs more. And most people in church are satisfied with being a skin and bones Christian. They're not trying to develop and grow to go into the realm of the extra. They're satisfied with just being a calf, so to speak. But this calf is never once called a calf. It's called a fatted calf all three times. And so we looked, first of all, last Sunday night at the fatted calf came from the Father's process. The Father's process. And that in that point, in that message, we dealt with the birth of the calf. And that is crucial. That even has got bigger even since last Sunday night. And I'm not going to go back and redo it and deal with it. But that birth makes possible that this calf can not only be a calf, and by the way, that's the only way a calf can be a calf is born a calf. And there's an application there. The only way you can be a Christian, is you've got to be born that way. You can't educate that way. You can't reform that way. You can't be religious that way and become a Christian. You have to be born that way. And so the calf, to become a calf and even have the potential of becoming a fatted calf, listen, it has to do with its birth. And I'm going to say this, and you'll probably hear it at least maybe once, maybe two more times. This calf was born a calf, but it was not born a fatted calf. Are y'all listening? None of us in here, when we were born again, when we had our spiritual birth, was born everything God wants us to be. We was born again, we was a Christian, we had eternal life, we were God's children, but what was needed now is growth. What is needed now is development. Y'all see that? And so that's really the gist of where we're going with this fatted calf. It's that God wants us to not just be born a Christian, but God wants us to be born a Christian that wants to feed and get fat, if you will, for the Lord. In other words, go beyond the normal and be, amen. Not just a normal calf. He didn't, listen, you'll hear this again too probably. The Father did not say to the servants, go get a calf. You know why? Because a calf won't do. What the Father's plans was, a calf, just a calf, would not do the job. Amen. God needs more. The Father needs more than just a calf. He needs a fatted calf. A calf that has went from normal to being unusual, that has grown, that has developed. And so that and all of that's attached to the birth. Though he wasn't born a fatted calf, he was born with an appetite to become a fatted calf. He was born with the potential and the genetics to become a fatted calf. Oh my goodness. I don't know what we're going to be facing at the judgment seat of Christ other than our works, and I know that. But what if God deals with us based on what could have been? And what if he brings this up in light of our context that I didn't do with you and through you what I really wanted to do, excuse the terminology, but you weren't fat enough. You stayed, you just had a snack diet as a Christian. You just kind of snacked around, you know, and just hit a little here and a little there, and you never developed and you never grew to the size that God wanted us to be spiritually. Amen. Now, being a calf, being a Christian will get you to heaven, but there's more to it than that. I should want God to use us as the Father used this fatted calf. He's specific on that. He is particular on that. He told the servants, go get the fatted calf. And they knew exactly which one that was. Why? Boy, mercy, I just seen something. You know why? Because when you are above normal, and you've went beyond the enough status and you went into the extra status as a Christian, you will stand out to the eye of the Father. Amen. You say, well, nobody notices all the feeding that I'm doing spiritually. Well, when you develop and you grow and it's time for the Father to use you, he's going to say, go get the fatted calf, the one that has fed extra. Here's the thing. Here's the gist of where we're going today. If you want to be extra for God, you're going to have to feed extra. Anyway, the fatted calf came from the Father's process. All right, let's move on to number two. This is where I want to get to today and start. Hopefully I can get it this morning. Not only did the fatted calf that the Father needs and deserves, amen, the fatted calf also came from feeding on the Father's plenty. He didn't just come from the Father's process, but he came by feeding on the Father's plenty. Amen. Look at most people in church, spiritually, you think the Father don't have much to sustain us because everybody is about to go away to nothing, amen, spiritually. You know, listen, just to make an application, if we fed the spiritual man with as much consistency and desire and enjoyment as we do the physical man, we would all be fatted calves for Jesus, amen. And when the Father wants to use a fatted calf, the servants would have to say, well, you're going to have to pick out one because all of RBT down there is that way. I mean, the very term, go get the fatted calf, implied there was a scarcity of it. They didn't have a whole corral of fatted calves. They didn't have a whole pasture field full of fatted calves. When he said fatted calf, it indicated there was the fatted calf. There was one. And you know, I'd say that's probably still true today, the ratio of skinny Christians spiritually. Y'all stay away. Keep your mind on the spiritual here, all right? Spiritually, those that are not feeding, they're feeding just enough to stay alive. That's where most people are. They're feeding on just enough to stay alive. They're basically skin and bones Christians. And so when the Father needs a fatted calf for a divine purpose, which is going to be our third point in our next message, when the fatted calf is needed for a purpose, guess what? He overlooks the skinny Christian. He overlooks the Christian that has not been feeding extra in order to become extra. See, it may not make much difference early on, your spiritual feeding and your spiritual diet, your spiritual appetite. Sister Debbie, it may not matter much early on because you think, well, I'm a calf, I'm on the farm, I'm in I'm the Father's property, I belong to the Father, and you know, I'm just eating enough to just kind of get by, I'm eating enough just to be, you know, to sustain my life. After all, I don't want to die. But when the day comes, sis, that the Father said, go get the fatted calf, it was too late to start trying to get fat then. Y'all understand that? It was too late then for the calf, you know, to make up its mind. Oh, man, give me a few days and let me get into a spiritual gorging gluttony session, amen, for several days and let me try to gain ground of all of those weeks that I just fed enough to get by. And most people in church are not feeding on the Father's plenty. They're snacking around and just eating a little crumb here and there, amen. And I know in order for you to be extra, you got to feed extra. I understand that. And I want to tell you, I try to feed you extra. Amen. I mean, you can point your finger at me about a lot of things and probably be accurate, a lot of faults. If you're looking for faults, you don't need a magnifying glass. Fine with me. But one of them, it's not going to be a failure to feed the flock of God. Amen. And I'll tell you what I put on the table for you. You want to know what it is? It's what feeds me. Because after all, I want to be a fatted calf too. Amen. But listen, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. And amen. Come on, help me, Lord. And look around at all the other calves, so to speak. And look around at all of them. They're not eating extra. They're not trying to become fat for the Father. They're not trying. Amen. They're just, you know, they're satisfied with sage grass and briars or whatever. Amen. They're nibbling on. But don't you forget it. The day will come that the Father will overlook them. They're on the farm, they're in his pasture and all of that, but they're feeding just enough to get by. And amen. And the Father don't need just a calf of skin and bones. He needs a fatted calf, one that has fed extra. Boy, if God could stir our people, stir me even, to start wanting to put on spiritual weight. Amen. Brother Jeter, he fools with cows and cattle some. And I'm just going to throw this out. I know the answer, but I'm going to throw it out. The fatter they are, the more they weigh, the more valuable they are. Am I right on that? Amen. You take a skin and bones calf, amen, to the sale, why, they probably won't even be nobody bid on it. First thing they would probably think about, Brother Jeter, is, oh my goodness, it's sick. I don't want that in my herd. I don't want that over there. Hey, there's something wrong with, you know. But if they comes in there, it's a fat, they can't hardly walk. Hey, man, they're going to say, you know what? And by the way, I can't wait to start on what God gave me this morning. Not, I won't do it today, but God showed me something about fat in the Bible. We are going to have a time with that. If the Lord will help me get to it. Hey, man. If you don't like this, now you're just going to have to talk to Jesus about it because he has eaten me up with it. We need it. I'll be honest with you. We need what is being preached. RBT needs what is being preached out of Luke 15. We needed what was preached about the servants a few weeks ago. We're needing now what is coming down the pipeline on the fatted calf. Amen. For the Father. We need that. Amen. Our church needs it. Our young people needs it. Amen. I don't see, listen, let me just, our church, I believe we have folk that are feeding enough to get by. I believe we have a lot of people in our church that's snacking around on a verse here and there and, you know, and all of that. But I want to tell you, friend, that's not what God is going to need in these last days when it's time for God's purpose to come to view. He's going to need a fatted calf to use. May God stir that in us, amen. But go back just a minute ago when I was talking about wanting to feed the flock of God. I want to put more on the table than you can eat. Because I know at best you'll only get a small percentage of what you hear. So I've got to throw out, that's another reason for long preaching. I throw out a whole lot so you can get a little. No, I'm just kidding about that. But Brother Fultz, it don't matter how much meat I put on the table. See, it's even on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever I'm preaching, it don't matter how much I put on the table. I mean, it may look like an absolute feast or something. But you know what? That will not be enough. What I give you will not be enough to make you a fatted calf Christian. Are y'all listening? In other words, you're going to have to feed. I'm getting ahead of myself right there, but a fatted calf don't just eat twice on Sunday and then once on Wednesday and once a month on Friday night. No. Would it be a fatted calf? It only eat three times in a week? In other words, you're going to have to learn, and most of you know this, but are you doing it? You're going to have to learn to feed yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, is not a preacher verse. It certainly applies, amen. It certainly applies, and preachers ought to study. Preachers ought to meditate, amen. Preachers ought to get fresh meat out of the Word of God for the people of God. Yes, amen. But I've been in churches, listen, I've been in churches in my ministry where it was evident being around the pastor that he's in the good enough stage. The people don't require much, so he don't study much. The people don't, you know, they seem to be okay with something real shallow. They seem to be okay with no meat. They seem to be okay with some skin and bones messages. And so therefore the preacher likes it because he don't have to study. If that's his mind and that's his gear, I tell you, I wouldn't go there 5 minutes because I'd starve to death. And I'm not making boasting to myself, but I'm telling you, I couldn't go to a lot of churches as far as a member. I couldn't go to a lot of churches that I even go to preach. I couldn't go there and starve to death. And nothing to do with me, but God does give me some things, amen. And we've got people starving to death here. We got people here that's getting skinnier by the week. Spiritually. Are y'all listening? And then if I say something to them about it, you know, or whatever, they get upset at me. But listen, we need this. I need this. But if you don't desire, here's the whole bottom line. If you don't desire to be something and a size that the Father can use in a few times when he needs it, then you won't be interested in feeding. Let me ask you this. Why then be a fatted calf Christian? Why go beyond the normal size to the extra size? What is the big deal about that if you don't have any desire for the Father to use you? Are y'all getting this? I'm going to lay it out there whether you get it or not. I hope you get it. You won't desire to have any kind of a private spiritual diet and an appetite to feed excessively upon the Word of God and upon the Lamb of God. You won't want that. What's the whole purpose? We want to be usable. Say amen right there. We want to be usable. Well, that's right. Anyhow, listen, these are some things the Lord gave me last night. The feeding of the Father, feeding on the Father's plenty. And by the way, I just want to say he has plenty. If you're about to dry up and blow away spiritually, it's your fault. If I'm about to dry up and blow away, it's my fault. And there has been times that's been so with me even. Amen. But there's enough food right here, I promise you, for you to be a fatted calf and then some. Amen. There's enough food. Listen, what you say, preacher, what do you mean feed? I can eat a chicken leg and a piece of steak and a piece of pizza or whatever, but how do you feed spiritually? You feed spiritually by what you give your attention to. Look at that. Look at that. I know sometimes I guess I just think that you know what I'm talking about. We all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about feeding. You know, we know how to feed physically. We know how to use a fork. Amen. Praise God. We're good at that. We know all of that. But spiritually, how do you feed? You can't see the food. This right here, this Bible, is your tangible plate. Your tangible. It's the only tangible piece of heaven on earth. Y'all get that? It's the only tangible. That is, I can handle it. I can handle it. Amen. I can put my hands on it. But most of the other is spiritual. The natural man is physical, therefore it eats physical food. The spiritual man, the new man, is a spiritual man, and therefore it eats and feeds off of what you can't see. It feeds off of what is not natural, and that Bible is not natural. That Bible is supernatural. Amen. How long has it been? I don't want to raise your hand. Just ask yourself. How long has it been since you fed on the Word of God? You want a preacher that does that? Am I not right on that? You want a Sunday school teacher to do that? Am I not right on that? You want people that's in those positions to give themselves as a student to the book? But what about just being a Christian? What about just being a Christian, a layman or a laywoman? Just, I want to be a Christian that is usable for whenever and ever how the Father wants to use me. Listen to this right here. Listen to this right here. Anyway, amen. I'll just read some of them to you. That way, if I can read them quicker and I can preach them. Not just a calf, a fatted calf, that has been taken from the realm of enough, just feeding enough, big enough, calf enough, if you will, to get in, go to the realm of the extra. If the Father is limited by our enough, that is, I'm just praying enough, I'm just going to church enough, I'm just reading enough, I'm just giving enough, or whatever. I'm operating in the enough category. That limits the Father from using you, and I've already covered that. But if it limits the Father, it's going to limit you as well. To be extra, you must go beyond enough. If enough is enough, you must... Listen, if enough is enough, you will never be extra for the Father. Boy, the Lord gave this to me last night. Enough is always for me. I want you to get that now. If I'm operating on enough, I'm just doing enough. I'm just doing enough. I'm being enough. I'm doing just enough to get by. And that describes a high percentage of any church you go to. Doing just enough to get by, just enough. Just barely make it in, just barely. If I'm operating in that realm of enough, that is because all I'm interested in is me. Bro, this got big to me, I'm telling you last night. It got big in my heart. Enough is for me. Extra is for the Father. If it was just a calf, that would be, and it eat a normal calf diet, it would just be for the calf. It would never grow as far as being big. It would never have been a fatted calf. You'll never be a fatted calf off of a normal calf diet. I hope y'all are making spiritual applications here. Amen. Enough is for me. That's why most people in church, that's the realm they're in, if they're even at that. They may be even operating in the not enough category. That's really what's behind carnality. Oh, I might as well preach right there a minute. That's really what's behind carnal choices, carnal direction. Amen. That's really what's behind all of that is that you're not feeding even enough spiritually to sustain your hunger, so you're having to go to the world to try to find something. Trying to find a biscuit or something in the world to feed on. I tell you what will keep you out of the far country. The fatted calf on the Father's table, that's what will keep you out from going to the far country. Who wants to go to the far country and be envious of the hogs, amen, when we have a place at the Father's table that we can feed to overflowing? You know what? Oh man, help me, Lord. You know why? You know what the very thought of going to the far country says to the Father? You don't feed me enough. You don't have enough for me. So I've got to go to the far country and I've got to find some kind of food down there. You feed on what you give attention to. Amen. And it don't necessarily, listen, it don't necessarily have to be bad things that takes away. You can be giving your attention to good things in and of itself. In other words, there's no scripture against or whatever. In and of itself, amen. Relationships, pleasures, you know, pursuits, things that you're pursuing. But if it takes you away from the Father's table, then it's got to be wrong. A lot of people, listen, yes, there are people, and you might as well just know it's so. There's people in church, they give their attention to filth. They give their attention to garbage. They give their attention to stuff, my friend, that is not going to feed them one speck spiritually. They're giving their attention to things that is 100% flesh-oriented, flesh-targeted. And then they wonder why in the world their old fallen nature is so strong. And their spiritual nature is so weak. It's the one you feed. You won't become a fatted calf in the far country. So why go there? Oh, come on now. You won't be a fatted calf in the far country, so why go there? You know why a person will go to the far country? They're not interested in being a fatted calf for the Father. They're not interested for the Father to say at any given time, go get him, go get her. Hey, it is time. I want to use them for my glory and my purpose. No, they go to the far country not because the Father don't have plenty. They go to the far country because they're interested in what is going to feed the flesh. Amen. We've seen it here, and it's been in every church. It's every church. There's not a church anywhere. I want to tell you, there's as much sin just about it in the average church as there are out on the streets of the town. Amen. Secretive, private, nobody looking, nobody knows. Hypocrisy. I think it's bad. I think it's real bad when Preacher Rackley gets a text about the all but disappearance of someone coming here because of hypocrisy that they've seen in somebody here. I didn't ask who because I don't want to know who. Because if I knew who, it would be bad. I'm just telling you. Now, if you want to be a hypocrite, listen now, I'm preaching. If you want to be a hypocrite in the closet by yourself, nobody, but I want to tell you what, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Listen, you lose ground spiritually, somebody's going to see it. You do something that's of the flesh, have far country lifestyle. You may not go to the far country, but you can be in the far country sitting on a church pew. Don't be swelling up in pride and saying, I ain't never drunk alcohol or smoked dope, amen. What have you done sitting in a church pew? Amen. I mean, it's a common report. Seems like I'm hearing the late, everywhere I go, that there's fornication in the house of God, adultery in the house of God. We wonder why the power of God is not permeating the place. There isn't but one thing that opposes the power of God, and that's sin. That's the way it's been from the start. I ought to open my phone up and read that text to you. I ain't going to. Yeah, somebody come to church and they're all this, but out yonder they're doing this. Son, that my blood pressure went up. Can y'all relate to me any? That I've given 25 years to preaching to these people. Some of you, I'm the only pastor you've ever known. And preach my heart out. Invest time in you. And then to watch you go in a far country direction, it kills me. Amen. I don't preach to be seen. I don't preach when I do have to plow. I don't preach in that direction for any points. I preach like that because I want you to be a fatted calf Christian. Because I know that skin and bones won't do. The Father will never ask for it. He'll never use it. He'll never know. And there's going to be people that's going to make it into the glory world. They're saved and that is it. Brother Jeff, that's the truth. They're going to be saved yet so as by fire. No rewards, no crowns, never done nothing for God. Are y'all listening? but they were a calf. And some probably satisfied with that. I don't care, preacher. I just am glad to be getting in. Is that really the desire? Is that really the heart of a Christian? Oh, I'm glad to be going to heaven. I've got eternal life, but I'm not interested in really being anything for the Lord. That fellow I dealt with Thursday night in the altar, Brother Jeff, I dealt with him. And I didn't know him from Adam. I never met him before. I said, I ain't going to mention his first name, I'm on tape, but I told you a while ago. I said, he was struggling about, well, I made a profession back years when I was little and all this stuff. And he's 45 now. I said, listen, let me ask you something. Just in the altar, I said, do you have a heart for God? He said, no, I don't. I said, I'm not your judge. I'm not the Holy Ghost. I can't see in your heart. But what you just said you do not have is certainly not an evidence of a Christian. And our churches everywhere are full of people. They say they're saved, but they don't have a heart for God. They don't want to feed on what the Father has for them. But anyway, let me go on. Amen. That's right. Your enough is for you, but you'll never have anything left over to give the Father. You've got to go with the extra to be able to give something to the Father. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching right there if I am doing it. Amen. Where are the professing Christians that have a desire to go and be extra for the Father? Amen. Most are content with just having a calf title, so to speak. Having little reality that you are even a calf for the Father. It's not even real to you that the Father has a purpose for you. I wrote this down last night. I want you to get this. The standard of normal has been set so low that people think skin and bones Christianity is normal. How many heard that? We've set the standard so low for normal that people don't even have to be spiritual to meet that standard. I remember hearing Brother Milton Taylor. Brother Milton Taylor said this. He said a lot of churches, they do it on purpose. They set their standards so low so people can meet those standards even in the flesh. And as a result, their church is full of lost people. Their church is full of lost people. But if you set the standard high, and I promise you we can't set the standard no higher than the Lord Jesus Christ is. We set the standard high, and we even fail in that, RBT. I just thought you'd know. We fail in that. If we set the standard up where it needs to be, I wonder how few of people will even come here. Amen. We've lost people over the 25 years I've been here because I won't condone their carnality. I'm not trying to control people. Amen. I'm not trying to control people, or at least I hope I ain't. I probably have in the past somewhere along the way. It's probably why I had ulcers. But I'm not trying to control people. But I can't condone carnality. I never have, and I'm just not going to start now. I'm just not going to start. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just not going to start now. When I hear preachers compromising, I'm talking about good preachers. Preachers that, one in particular, that I even recommended to the church where he was. He's not there now, but he was. I recommended him to the church. He flew to coop and went plumb out in left field. Probably not even in the field. He's not even in the field. He's took a stronger stand as I've ever seen anybody take on the King James and various things, separation and sanctification and living holy and all that. He pastors a church right now. They don't even use a King James Bible. letting his family live whatever life they want to live. They're going to the dogs. When I hear that, it breaks my heart, Brother Bill. It breaks my heart to hear it. And I appreciate you being in a vet. You're a veteran, right? When I hear that right there, a comrade falling, it hurts me. But it makes me want to stand that much stronger. Amen. That's right. And I hope that's what you want. I hope you want a man of God that's not going to condone carnality, that he's not going to turn his head and look toward the wall, and you know, and this hurts this one's feelings and this hurts that feeling. I hope you want a preacher that'll love you, and because he loves you, he'll preach to you the truth. I hope that's what you want. I know there was a time that's what RBT wanted. Amen. I wonder if that's what everybody wants. I wonder if that's what everybody wants. But the standard for normal has been set so low that you don't even have to be a fatted calf for everybody to pat you on the back and say, wow, what a Christian. But don't forget, the Father's the one that asked for a fatted calf. Listen to this right here. I've took too much time on that. When the Father desires to grow the calf, how many believes the Father desires to grow every Christian? Every person that gets saved, he desires to grow you. I mean, you come into this world physically with an appetite and you do likewise spiritually. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. When the Father desires to develop the calf, he targets the diet of the calf. No other way to grow a calf from just being a calf to being a fatted calf without focusing on the feeding. The fattening of the calf is attached to the feeding of the calf. The more you feed, the fatter of a calf you'll become. Here's the initial thought that came out while I was preaching 2 or 3 weeks ago that got me started on the calf. If the calf would have only fed on what was enough or necessary to exist, it would have never been a fatted calf. That's the initial thing that launched this whole thing. The calf had to be fed extra to become extra. You know, it would probably shock everybody in here if God were to drop the screen back here and put on the screen how much time is given in a week's time from people that comes here that you're devoted to spiritual attention, spiritual affection, spiritual action, spiritual reception, appropriating the things of God into your life. Brother Jeter, fat potential could have been all around that calf. The word fatted, one of the definitions of the word fatted means to be stalled, put in a stall. That's that separation. Put it in a stall and give it quality food. See, we've eaten so much junk, fleshly speaking, that's what we want spiritually. We think we ought to grow spiritually. Now, your flesh, hey, come on. Your flesh, it'll grow off of junk. In fact, that's what it wants. It likes it. But the Father wants to put you in an area, place where he can feed you quality. You can't ever be quality if you don't feed quality. Anyway, let me move on. Mercy. Listen to this. Listen, parents. Feeding starts with the mother. When that calf is born, it starts feeding from its parent. Before it ever gets it in, amen, I'm talking about starting. I wonder how many children, listen parents, I wonder how many children probably maybe don't have a desire to be a fatted calf Christian that God mightily can use one day. Maybe because they weren't started out like that. I talked to a preacher yesterday that I've not seen in years. Actually, we used to support him when he was on the Navajo reservation in New Mexico, and I went out there and preached for him there that one time. Well, he pastors over on the other side of Newport now, and I just happened to be in a place where he came in, and he didn't even recognize me. I was talking to him. He was picking up stuff off the shelf, and I said, "No, that ain't what you need." He said, "Well, no," and he'd throw it back down. He'd say, I said, "No, that's the wrong color there." I thought he knew it. My goodness, I'm standing 3 feet from him. He's getting stuff off the shelf looking with his back to him, and I'm telling him, "No, no, you can't buy that here." I thought he knew me, or I wouldn't have been talking like that, or he could turn around and bop me upside the head, you know. And finally, he turned around. I said, "Do you not recognize me?" And then it hit him. And boy, we embraced, and we sat there, and we talked forever, cried and stuff together, and just had a time together. We talked about that. But he talked about two kids, even when I was out there. He said there was two little Indian kids. They were this little when I was out there. He said, but they've grown up now. And he said both of them is already in eternity. Both of them just recently got killed. And he said, here's the word that got me on this illustration. He said, "Preacher, they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. Mom and daddy drinking all the time, at the casino all the time, partying all the time. The kids having to raise themselves." Mr. Nell, y'all gave us the illustration of one in your kin to y'all that's similar. No home life, no mama to give them nurture and admonition and food, spiritual food that'll get them up and started to head in a spiritual direction. Amen. It's hard for the preacher to make up for a missing parent or the lack of a parent. Make it your business, parents, to feed your children. Some of you do that, and I'm thankful. So it starts with the feeding. I'm going to quote Brother Jeter. I was asking him some stuff about feeding the calves and stuff, and I said, I talked about the stalled fatted calf, the calf that they're fattening up. I said, what keeps that calf from maybe peeking through the cracks or looking over at the other calves out there and have this idea? Well, they're not having to eat this special diet, and they're not in a stalled area. They're not separated. You know, they're out there free, roaming around, eating whatever, doing whatever. Why can't I? And Brother Jeter said this in raising calves. He said, "Give me a calf for 5 days." I believe that's what you said. 5 days. He said, "Give me a calf for 5 days and let me feed it what I have to feed it." And he said that it will not look even remotely toward the other calves, because he knows that what he's feeding is full of nutrients and is the good stuff, amen. And so sometimes you have to be fed like that, and even bottle fed. I felt like I've done that a few times in my life. If you eat normal, you'll just be normal. To eat little, you'll be little. To eat big, you'll be big. Whatever you're feeding on, listen, I'll just give you a few things else and I'll be done, or I'm going to quit. Whatever you're feeding on, you will have a desire to be big with. Amen. How's your appetite? Whatever you're feeding on, whether it's carnal or spiritual, you'll desire to be big with that. Amen. Feeding on extra from the Father is the only way to become extra for the Father. I'm just skipping down through here and giving you a few things. Extra could be around the calf, but it never benefited the calf till it got in him. You can be all around preaching, you can be all around Christianity, all around truth, all around challenges to go further and bigger and higher for God, but you know what? Being around it won't fatten you up. You got to feed on it. You got to get it in you. You've got to appropriate it. Let me see if I can find this other one that Lord give me. Listen to this. Lord, give this to me last night, Brother Mark. Being a fatted calf was the results of daily being a full calf. How many got that? Being a fatted calf was the results of daily being a full calf. In other words, the calf ate every day, sis, to the full. What would that do to us? What would that do to RBT? What would that do for the cause of Christ if Christians fed every day, Brother Kyle, to the full? How many's ever done that? God fed you so much and you fed on God that you just felt like, oh my goodness, I can't eat another bite. There's been times, friend, I've had to get up and get out of my study because I felt like I was just gorged with truth and God feeding me. I've just had to get up and walk out. I thought, Lord, I can't preach all that. But most people, it's a little cracker here and there, a little snack here and there, just enough to kindly survive. But God's not, the Father's not interested in calves that's in a survival mode. They can be skin and bones and surviving. He's wanting a fatted calf. I thought that was good connection between being a fatted calf and being a full calf. Amen. Occasionally or never eating to the full will never develop you to be a fatted calf that the Father's going to need. Amen. Feeding to the full is not only required to become, listen, this is good. Feeding to the full is not just required to become a fatted calf, but it is necessary to maintain the fatted calf status. In other words, once you've gotten fattened on the things of God, and I've seen many like that, and then they quit eating, or they get slack in their spiritual diet, and guess what they start doing? What would you guess? They start losing weight spiritually. You're not born a fatted calf. You're born a calf. If you're going to be a fatted calf, it's going to be your responsibility to eat because the Father's got plenty. Church, can I say this morning? Being a Christian is not a starving life. That's what's projected by many. That's why a lot of lost people are not interested in what we got. They thought, why do I want that? You're starving to death, looks like. And Ms. Hayes, why would a lost person want what we're feeding on when most of the people in church spends most of their time at the fence, looking over the fence at the greener pasture supposedly out there somewhere else? Why would I want to do that? Well, anyhow, I've not preached this out, but I sure didn't get none of this response where I was at this week. People, anyway, listening, feeding. Hopefully that's what you're doing. Anyway, let me give you this. Let's see here what else I was going to give you right here. This is good. I didn't get none of this out of a book. I mean, God just gave it to me through the process. Some used to be a fatted calf, but they've quit eating all that the Father has designed to feed them and have changed. Miss Kaylee was talking about that song. What was that about being changed? I've been changed or whatever it was. A lot of people's been changed in that way, praise God. But some have flipped that around, and they're starting to change and go in the other direction. Like that preacher I mentioned and others. Amen. The key, and this is simply put, and this is the last statement I'm going to give you. The key to being a fatted calf is to feed on all that the Father feeds you. Because you know what He's going to feed you? Amen. He's going to feed you quantity, and He's going to feed you quality. Because you need both to be a fatted calf. He's going to give you quality and He's going to give you quantity. And many people seemingly don't want that diet. Quality. In other words, it's good for you. It's good for you. Quantity. You'll never run out. The Father's got more than you can eat. Father can fatten you up. That's right. Amen.